T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Conservative. What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab into your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love, a couple with children, a couple with differing opinions and perspectives, a couple that survive.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Mrs.
Mooch, are you there?
I'm waiting for you, baby.
Buonasera. How you doing?
I'm waiting for your enlightenment on so many different subjects, but why are you in Italy?
Why am I in Italy? Why am I in Italy? I don't know. We have some meetings over here for work, and we're hustling.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I've got some friends, and what's your favorite part of Italy?
The food. I've already gained like 20 up in here.
We're eating nonstop though, right? It's like a little horrifying, right?
Yeah, it's not good. There's always tomorrow.
We have some family members in Genoa. We have some family members in the south, but unfortunately can't see them on this trip.
I don't really know if I still have anybody.
What would you say to somebody that's never been to Italy? How would you describe Italy?
Let's see. Well, the weather at this time of year, it's beautiful. It's warm and sunny and no humidity, which I love. Good for the hair.
The food is spectacular. The hospitality.
The food is like nothing I've ever had before. I mean, you could go to a gas station on the highway here and get a sandwich, and it'll be the best sandwich you've ever had.
You
could get a tomato and mozzarella sandwich here, and it tastes like you are at, you know, Cipriani.
Yeah.
In New York City.
And it could be at a convenience store, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say the food is outstanding. I think there's something to be said because they obviously have a lot less stuff in their food. It seems more fresh. A tomato here tastes like a piece of candy. A tomato at home tastes like water.
I totally agree. I think the only other thing I would say is that the Italians have already had their empire, so they know they're going to die. And they take life a little bit less seriously, and they have a little bit of a nap in the afternoon, and then they have an extra piece of cheese, and they drink an extra glass of wine. So it makes it great fun to be here, and it makes you realize you don't have to really care as much, right? Am I wrong? Why are you laughing?
I can't text with my friends, and I'm trying to be on the Mooch and the Misses.
Why? What are you laughing at?
One of my friends, this is so terrible, but she sent me a picture of her ex-husband's new wife's feet at a soccer game. And apparently, her shoes don't fit.
Oh my God, she looks like the house landed on her from like The Wizard of Oz.
No wonder we're no thongs.
It's horrifying. Oh my God.
Oh God.
You people are relentless.
Oh my God. Anyway.
So. Anything else you want to say about Italy?
I'm going to try to get I'm going to try to get her permission to post that.
Oh my God.
Well, I'll have Neil post it if she gives me the permission. But anyway,
the feet look like, I'll just give the visual. The feet look like stuffed sausages and snake skin
flats.
No collusion.
Yeah, no collusion.
Absolutely disgusting. You're not going to have any collusion with that anytime soon.
Were you trying to say now that there was collusion?
So let's talk about the Trumpster, though. He's heading to Orlando.
He's going to Disney World. He's going to Orlando.
No, I know that. I mean, it's the home of the mouse. But here he is. He's going to Orlando.
As James says, the mouse.
25,000 people expected to be there. What do you think? People are lining up for 40 hours to get into the rally. Do you believe that, all that hype and everything?
I kind of do, because I saw it on the news this morning, and it was like CNN or something that is not pro-Trump. So they were setting up tents and screens, and people were camping out, and there were signs, Trump 2020, humongous things hanging from all over the place. So I'm assuming that it's real.
So he's got an unbelievable economy.
But it was a very homogeneous crowd that I saw there. It was all white.
Right.
All white people.
Well, I mean, that's what got him elected last time. So let me ask you this, though. Unbelievable economy, strong, deep. Yet, if you look at his approval ratings, he's one of the more unpopular modern presidents, if not the most unpopular. So he pulls this off. He's able to turn all this around.
Well, I don't think that it matters about the general election, as we saw last time. And he'll get the states he needs and he'll win. And that's how it's going to go. So, I mean, I think he'll be reelected.
Did you watch any of the George Stephanopoulos interview?
Well, I didn't I tried to find bits and pieces of it online. I saw it, but it was like piecemeal. Oh, I was like,
I'm making fun of Mulvaney. I mean, the guy had a tiny cough. Trump goes nuts. He's like a total germaphobe. So I'm in the Oval Office. There's like this article that one of his relatives sent him about. He had a professor from MIT. His last name was Trump. It was like his uncle or great uncle. And they sent him this letter about how accomplished the guy was in, like, you know, quantum mechanics and physics. And so I couldn't open up the pamphlet. So I licked my index finger to, like, you know, stick it to the paper and to go open it up. And as I licked my index finger and I went down to stick it on the paper, the president smacked my hand. He goes, "That's disgusting. Don't put your saliva filled finger on my paperwork."
Oh, my God.
So, you know, he's a little bit of a germaphobe.
I feel him, though. I'm like that. A lot of things disgust me, and most people disgust me.
Do you find me disgusting?
No.
I'm pretty well-groomed, right, even though I'm a little bit of a slob, right?
No, I think I told the crowd this, that you are very...
Shower twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an extensive flosser. Brush my tongue, right?
You're not gross.
So what do you make of this thing, though? You seem doing more network television. I mean, it looks like that network thing wasn't great. I mean, didn't come across great. What do you think of it?
I think he looks like, I don't even know what else happened on it, because all they focused on was the cough thing. So they of course went with that and nothing else. So I honestly don't know how it was, because I just saw it piecemeal, so the continuity and the content, I don't really know how it went from. But he seemed to be a little bit defensive and kind of a jerk to George Stephanopoulos.
Do you think people are getting exhausted from him, and there's like Trump fatigue?
I don't know. It doesn't, maybe normal people, but it doesn't seem like, I mean, who shows up like in droves and camps out like you're trying to see the Beatles or something to see Trump at a rally? I don't know. So obviously somebody likes him.
Anything that could change your mind here, like for 2020, like would you vote for him?
I would vote for him if there was like a crippled chipmunk candidate on the other side.
Right. Well, you can't say crippled, because then, you know, people go crazy.
Crippled chipmunk.
We're in the land of the microaggression. You're not allowed to
say
or do anything.
Crippled chipmunk.
I think you probably say crippled chipmunk. I guess. I mean, but you know, as long as someone's not now saying that you made fun of disabled people.
No.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
I can't reference rodents.
No, you can't.
Okay.
All right. So the baby Trump is going to be showing up at this thing. Okay. They crowdsourced $3,500 to transport the 200-foot diaper-wearing balloon. Was that a good idea? Is that funny? Is that going to...
Where is baby Trump going to be?
Baby Trump is showing up in Orlando, the big fat baby Trump.
Baby Trump.
Right, exactly. It's showing up in Orlando. So they crowdsourced the transport of it. $3,500 was needed. They got it down there. Is the media going to focus on baby Trump, or is it going to focus on the speech that the president's about to make, or what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't think it really, it's like stupid. Who cares? It's a balloon. I don't think it should get any coverage on television, but I guess they'll talk about it and make a big deal about it, but it's, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, this is the thing. I'm just, I know we're tired because we're jet-lagged. We're in Italy, but I'm just tired of it all. I had like I had a really hard week last week, and it's trickling into this week, and I'm just so over it and done with it. I almost, on the plane right over here, deleted my Twitter account. But
we're gonna get to the Twitter. We're gonna get the Twitter raging and everybody's.
No, I'm not trying to get to that. I'm just saying I'm too tired and tired of everything that I don't care if there's a baby Trump balloon there. I don't care if they're protesters. I don't really care that he's having a rally. I'm just don't really care.
What about, well, let me ask you this, though. I mean, the president's poll numbers got released somehow, so the poll numbers are terrible.
Yeah.
So he goes out and fires the guy. I mean, it's like shooting the messenger, though, no? He fired the pollster.
Well, I mean, I could see him being annoyed that they leaked that information, because I just think that's a breach of confidence and you're stepping out of bounds for the job role or anybody that's supposed to be helping you or on your team, quote unquote. So I get the concept of not liking someone going against you that way, but in terms of the actual, I think he was probably more mad about what was in the polls and the numbers that he took it out on them. So yes, it is sort of like shooting the messenger. I think he fired them or got rid of them because of what the polls actually said, which isn't their fault. But he is a baby, and that's like if Neil told us, our producer told us that one person listened to the podcast. It's like us firing Neil. I mean, no, that means we suck. And nobody listens to us. It's not Neil's fault. So
I would fucking fire Neil in like a heartbeat. I mean, I would hit Neil with the fucking bus. You know what I mean? No?
Neil, sorry, I don't know what he's doing.
No,
about.
I'm Uncle kidding. Neil. I'm just going to get a joke. I mean,
oh
he's laughing.
God.
He's laughing. I can see his face.
I'm trying to find the sound bite.
No, I can see.
What was the sound by the bus hitting you?
Uncle Neil.
I can see his face turning bright red from here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's talk about this controversy with Kyle Kashoff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
what do you think of that?
I saw what he wrote. First of all, this is why technology is so dangerous, because it's emblazoned in time. Whatever you do, say, write, it's forever, and it's indelible ink.
So I want every rich white kid that is at Harvard right now to turn over every text message that they sent while they were in college, I mean,
in high school.
I mean, in high school, where they used the N-word. Because let me tell you something, every rich kid in every one of these suburbs that's going to Harvard uses the N-word on their text machine.
But the problem
okay,
is
so,
this. Can I just
and,
say
can
something?
Can I explain why, though, or no?
Well, I'm going to interrupt you and tell you that it's kind of a weird thing, because the music that we listen to, I include myself in this probably because I think I'm younger than I really am, but even growing up, I always listened to rap music, and I listened to Biggie Smalls, I listened to Mobb Deep, I listened to all these different rappers. And that word is used constantly. So even if you're singing the song, it's in there.
Right.
So, and I know that it's never supposed to be something that a white person says.
Right, which is why every white kid ages 13 to 17 uses it, because
it's
you're not supposed to.
But it's in the pop culture. It's in the...
Right, so I'm calling on every Harvard kid to call Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint, and turn over to the Harvard Admissions Administration every text that they did from the ninth grade up until the 12th grade, and identify the N-word in every single one of the texts. Okay, mm-hmm. And so this way that 60% of the kids can evacuate from the school.
Mm-hmm.
So the level of sanctimony is just unbelievable. And now
I'm
defending the kid.
I watched the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary on the way over here. Mm-hmm. And she went to Harvard Law School. She was one of the first women that ever went there.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's taken them 200 years to even have an equal amount of women to men in the school. This is 2019. It's taken them 200 years to make it even. And when she was going there, she explained that there were many times that she wasn't even allowed into certain buildings. Like, she couldn't go into certain libraries to look up periodicals to do her work because she was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she was turned away by security at the door to Harvard facilities.
Right. And Harvard's holier than thou now, and they're absolutely pure in everything that they're doing. So you got a 16-year-old kid that you know he was shouldn't be doing it, but he is doing it like every other 16-year-old kid that's defying cultural norms. And so now we're going to accuse the kid of being a racist and all this other stuff, okay? And now I'll be lit up for defending the kid because now I'm a racist for defending the kid, which neither one of us are racist. And the kid apologized, but you're now going to blow him out of the seat. Okay, it's fine. He's going to go on and have a great life. When I wrote on Twitter yesterday that it was a travesty, it's not a travesty for Kyle. He's going to go out and have a great life. It's a travesty for the direction that the culture is going in now. Mm-hmm. So now every time anybody says anything that's partially recorded or it's in a tweet or you do something wrong, boom, you're going to be knocked out of commission as a result of the society now.
Right.
And no forgiveness, by the way. The kid's 16.
So honestly, there's no
rather than teaching him, just blow him out. It's more important. You know, David Brooks wrote an amazing article today in the New York Times describing how stupid this whole thing is.
Well, it's teaching our kids that there's no room for error. And
right.
It's almost like this culture where you can't learn from mistakes. You have to be perfect.
If he was a liberal kid, they would. He's obviously a conservative kid supporting the Second Amendment, even though he's a Parkland shooting survivor. Do you think if he was a liberal kid, they would have kept him, hon?
I don't really know. I'm not sure. But I just think the fact that even he is participating in social awareness of anything at that age, the age that he is, because he's still very young, is a good thing. I mean, when I was 16, 17, 18, I wasn't going out and speaking about gun violence or awareness about gun violence.
Do you think you said something at
age 16
or 17 that you regret?
Of course. I've said things at 35 I regret. That's what I'm saying. It's like you can't live with these expectations of perfection, and I don't expect myself to be perfect, you to be perfect, or any of our children to be perfect, because that's not life. And so what makes me mad is that the person who's signing the letter and kicking him out of the college, that person is perfect. That person has never said or done anything that was not appropriate.
No,
it's
unbelievable. So again, I'm calling on Harvard. Just get every text from every kid. The N-word is used by these white suburban kids on their text machines because it's not supposed to.
It's called a phone.
Okay, you understand what I'm talking about.
Okay,
it's not supposed to be used. That's why they're using it.
Not even
to make them racist.
Okay, can I say
something?
It's not even just the kids. I'm sure if you dug deep into anyone's past, someone on the faculty would have said or done something that they shouldn't have also. And so, as long as you correct the behavior and you learn from it, I'm sure he's a different person than he was before 17 of his friends and teachers were murdered in a mass shooting in his high school. I'm sure that gives you a little bit of a reality check and you grow up a little bit. I mean, and I don't know who helped him write the letters, but he obviously is an intelligent kid who has something to offer, and it's a shame. So somebody else, I hope they take him, and because now he said he turned down a lot of scholarship money in other schools to attend Harvard. I hope somebody extends an olive branch or a lending hand to him.
Yeah, of course.
And by no means do I feel sorry for him. He shouldn't have said that stuff. And I'm not saying, oh, poor him, he's a victim. But I think that they're just being a little bit too crazy and black and white.
Yeah, no, he'll go on and have a great life. It's just a shame that this is where the society directionally is going. So, sorry,
By the way, Dawn in the whatever office that was, the ethical, whatever that was that he appealed to, he sent somebody a letter on the side saying, I hope you can help me and figure out how to, like, become a better person and blah, blah, blah. And they said, contact us in the fall after you matriculate, you know, best Dawn in the whatever office, ethical office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that woman lost her job.
She
didn't check with the admissions office before she sent that one
out. No, it's just crazy. Totally unfair. But
yeah.
we're moving on.
Should mean that everyone on Twitter should have no job or whatever, because if people really looked into what people say online and in social media, they're like, I mean, they call people things all day and night. So I'm assuming these people have jobs and they are employed or they go to school somewhere. So then that means everyone should be out on the street because everyone's saying things that are completely wrong and inappropriate. And
all of Twitter and all of the negativity on Instagram, places like that, are all anonymous people. I mean, they are still functioning in civilization, and
they probably work somewhere.
Yeah, it just shows the vicious underbelly of like what's going on in society. So last week was a lot of fun on social media. So let's talk about Meghan McCain first, because I think this is interesting.
Well, it wasn't really fun.
No, I'm saying that sarcastically, honey.
Rumor about the housewives spiraled into kind of a negative, very draining, sad kind of 7 to 10 days for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's just stupid. I mean, first of all, you were being gracious, and if you got offered, you would consider it. You've never been offered. It's not that big of a deal. Could care less one way or the other. But Meghan McCain then has to go out of her way to say that I'm a bad person and I had bad behavior in the White House, and so therefore you shouldn't be rewarded. I mean, I don't even understand where she's even coming from. Then you light her up, which I love. You basically like, okay, you're on The View because you're Senator McCain's daughter. I mean, how could you even make a statement like that? But not only that, the thing I don't get is I went out of my way to defend Senator McCain and totally disagreed with President Trump's handling of the senator's funeral and President Trump's negativity related to Senator McCain long after he's been deceased. And I've gone out of my way. I'm a Trump supporter and go out of my way, and I'm bitingly critical of the president, okay, and have never once said anything negative about John McCain, John McCain's family, or Meghan McCain. So so for her to just gratuitously light me up like that and then corollarily light you up, I find her to have, like, severe Trump derangement syndrome, and she should, like, take a step back and, like, rethink herself for a second, because if she hates President Trump, totally justifiable, get it, and so forth, but why go after us? So you say what?
Well, I have a whole different opinion on all of this than you, I think, because I'm seeing it from my perspective, which is different than yours, but what bothers me is, yes, you've gone out of your way to publicly, because you have a platform, to publicly defend her family and her father and go against the president, and you have done that. But in the privacy of my own conversations, I've defended her and also just the way she conducts herself sometimes on The View and just all the stuff. And I remember feeling so badly for her last summer, last August, when, you know, we found out that he passed away and we watched all of the coverage of his services, and I felt terrible for her because I've lost my dad too, and I know how it feels, and I had empathy for her, and I really felt for her. I've also met her before when you've been on The View, and I've been totally nothing but nice to her and about her whenever someone referenced her. And then to go on and feel like you have to be so just negative and rude about me, like, who are you? Honestly, I don't get why she's entitled to be on a show and she's better than me, because she's not. And I could easily be on The View if I wanted to. I'm just as intelligent. And that's the bottom line. So the fact that you think she's holier than thou pisses me off. But the other thing is just about social media in general. So she attacked me, and that was fine. But, you know, when I go on and I pull up my newsfeed and I see people just 24/7 attacking you just for simply being on a show where you're commenting and giving your opinion.
Right.
You are a very intelligent person. You're a Harvard Law School graduate. You have always had, you worked at Goldman and had your own businesses. The fact that people think because you worked for Donald Trump, you did do a bonehead thing that I have to say did not paint you in a great light, and I know it's hard to defend that whole thing, but that doesn't define your whole entire life and who you are as a person.
Hold on a second. So, I used some bad words
it was vulgar and it was inappropriate and it's gross and it's nobody wants to hear that. And that's a normal thing.
I understand that, but if people do say that shit, and I did say it, and I owned it, and the kid obviously wanted to get me fired. And
okay, we're not going to go relive all that.
No, I understand that.
All I'm saying is that the moment should not and will not define you. So when people, this goes back to the whole Kyle Kashev thing. So he wrote that on some stupid high school portal, and now that defines him as a human, and he got booted from his college that he was going to. You said something completely stupid and idiotic, and then that defined your whole entire life. And then because I married you like a really long time ago, people automatically assume that I'm also to be burned at the stake for what?
But
so
Anthony really is
I
a good guy.
I don't like the whole guilty by association, first of all, and I don't like the one mistake life that people have. You can only do one thing, and if it's the wrong thing, then you're done, and that's you in a nutshell, and it's over for you. So there's just a whole bunch of stuff I don't like, and
everybody's in the same boat, by the way. I don't think there's a lot of people that like it.
No, this is like the phenomenon. So we're saying it's like the weirdest thing. It's we live in this bizarre odyssey where it's like, there's a whole bunch of people who love Trump. I don't know who the hell they are because I've never met one of them, right? But obviously there's all these people that voted him into office and they exist at these rallies. And then also you say there's all these people that hate the negative droning on and the general meanness of social media, but they come out in droves on social media. So who are the people that hate?
Well, some of it is robots, though. I know you don't believe me, but some of it is robotic technology. Okay, I can explain to you how that works. It's just false Twitter accounts and a logarithm, that says the same thing over and over.
Algorithm,
whatever you call it. When I'm hearing my 50 minutes of fame are up and it said 75 times in a row in 75 different tweets, it's part of a pattern and a framework.
Well, I mean, just take this conversation off of us, because obviously we have our own personal issues with the whole social media thing. But just in general, I just find it to be a source of humongous negativity. I find myself getting sucked into arguments with people and wasting my time. And so I find I had a revelation this past week where I probably won't come off of it, but I'm definitely not going to try to defend myself or you on it anymore or anything.
Yeah,
I'm not posting anything more about our children because I don't want our children being attacked, and our children don't even read or write yet. So they don't need to see our kids because they don't have the privilege of it anymore. And I just feel like I'm kind of stepping back. I know maybe it's a knee-jerk reaction, but I'm going to kind of focus on things that are more important, like my family and my children, instead of these people that I'm fighting with online at 3 a.m, So I don't know. I just had a big wake-up call over the past few days. So that's where I'm at right now.
I will blow you out of the water.
Oh.
Yeah, I love that, online it says I got owned by Soledad O'Brien. Woman, first of all, you have 4 kids. That's the example you're setting for them. Second of all, ashamed of myself because I'm married to you. You can go and stick your head in up an ostrich's ass, and I'll be all too happy to never hear from you again. These are just the kind of people that have a voice in our world, and I don't understand it. So this is when I see why Trump gets pissed at this kind of stuff, because people can just say anything about you that they want, even if it's completely false. And it gets to you after a while. Really, it does.
So So what do you recommend to people that have children then that are on Twitter? Just get off it?
Well, the funny thing is like what I really think is set an example. But then people say to me, well, your husband set an example. And I say, no, he didn't. And I don't agree with what he said. And I wish he never did that. But I'm me and he's him. We didn't come from the same sperm and egg. I'm from a different set of things.
I got it. So I made a mistake. So let's talk about it for the next 200 years.
Okay.
I mean, it's just so stupid.
All right. So all I'm saying is this, is that all I can do for my kids and our kids is lead by example. And all I can do is urge other people to do that. Even if you don't have kids, just for the society in general, just lead by example. Like, I don't know what would possess somebody to wake up in the morning and someone they don't know go after someone they don't even know. I mean, I have plenty of people that I wish I could go on Twitter and voice my opinion about people publicly that I do know or have affected me personally, but I don't do that. Like, get some class. Get some, you know, civility, humanity. How about all those things? Before this stuff was invented, no one had this platform to spew all their vomit and nonsense on.
There was a village idiot in every village, and now the village idiot has gone global. You've given the village idiot a license to do this stupid stuff.
Right.
But I don't want to harp on that. So let's...
if you don't see me on social media anymore, you have to then download Mooch and the Misses and listen to me here because I'm kind of taking a break from that
right now. So someone's asking about Iran. And so while there's a distraction in the news related to Kyle Kashov or any of the nonsense that goes on in the election, you've got an allegation made by the United States that Iran has mined some tankers and blown up some tankers in the Strait of Oman. And the U.S. is sending over another 1,000 troops. So I'm just going to give my prediction on this stuff because, you know...
Well, first of all, do you think it was them?
Yes, I do think it was them. I don't think that's fake news coming from Secretary Pompeo. I do think it was them. But I also understand why it was them. And I understand the pressure that's on them right now as the president has put, like, crippling sanctions in place related to the sale of their oil and other things that he's doing to their economy to strangle the economy and to end the Iranian theocracy. So I get all that, but I'm just going to say, from a logistics point of view, it is going to be impossible to have a military strike on Iran. You would need a million troops to take over that country, and you don't have any place to stage those troops. So what will happen is the tensions are high, but it's a lot like the mid-'80s. You know, we could devastate their navy. We could do things as it relates to soft power, but we're not going to have a full-blown war against the Iranians anytime soon, if at all. So I just wanted to make sure people understand the reality of the situation on the ground there. So let's flip to something a little crazy and not necessarily light, but crazy. So O.J. Simpson joins Twitter.
Well, this is what we're talking about with the cesspool of life.
Right. So what do you think of that?
Having a platform. I mean, he clearly killed his wife and Ron Goldman, and nobody should listen to what Bill Cosby has like 3 million followers. O.J. Simpson is rounding up followers. It's like, is it to watch the insane person make a fool of himself, or what is it for? Because why would that many people take interest in murderers and rapists? I don't get it, but that's the world that we live in. I mean, I guess there's a flip side to everything. Ron Goldman's sister, I think her name is Kim, she has drawn a lot of attention over the past week because she has done, I guess, her own sort of investigation on everything that happened with her brother.
Well, there's a $35 million civil case that was won as well.
So this is drawing attention to her cause, Twitter, and the fact that OJ started his own Twitter account and is trying to appeal to the masses. So, I mean, there are good things that come of it, but of all the connectivity. But I think he should just disappear. I mean, don't you?
Well,
I mean, it was 25 years ago yesterday that he was being chased down by Katie Tour's, Katie Tour's.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though. Are you following OJ on Twitter?
No, I would never give him that click. You are?
I am, yeah. I'm following
him. Why?
Because, you know, I'm fascinated by the gall of the whole thing, and I'm fascinated by, you know, the, it's almost like an outlandish thing going on. And so I just want to understand it from a cultural perspective. Okay. You know, so,
I mean, I think you could go look him up occasionally. I don't think you need to give him a follow.
All right. So I'm going to unfollow him right now as you're speaking. Okay. So I'm going to unfollow him. Okay. I just unfollowed the juice. But I do think it's interesting now, all of a sudden he's showing up 25 years later. So we'll have to see what unfolds there. Are you coming to Abu Dhabi with me for the Salt Conference?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I haven't been there since 2011.
What did you think of Abu Dhabi and Dubai? What was your impression of those two places?
I always find it so interesting to be in a place with such a different culture. I mean, coming to Italy, it's Europe, but it's not so different. We have a lot of the same values. But going to the Middle East, you feel like you might as well be on Mars, because they just have such a different, first of all, landscape when you're there. It's insane. Just the desert is in
very unique. You remember
place.
The dust storm?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that so many things, I mean, in Dubai are man-made, it's just a fascinating place. But I always feel a little bit uneasy there, because I know that I am a second-class citizen as a woman there. And I don't feel like that, obviously, in the States or in Europe. So it's just an interesting place to visit and then come back home. And it makes me love America more. I know that sounds terrible. But we just have so many freedoms here, and we don't have to worry about things. And we're pretty much, I know some people would argue with me, but I think we're treated pretty fairly and equally here. We still have work to do, but it's not like the Middle East, you know?
I'm
hoping that will change over time.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot of exciting people coming. You know, we were in touch with yesterday General Mattis and General Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Lining up great speakers.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to be there or not, but they're, you know, I'm in touch with both of them. I would love to see both of them there, and so we're working on that. And we got a whole slate of super exciting speakers from money management, politics, entertainment. And also, you know, I'm counting on you, babe, to handle the band. So we're going to put a huge entertainment So it's November 19th to the 21st for people that are interested. You just have to go to Salt, www.salt.org. And anything else you want to say, babe?
No, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else going on right now? At home in the news that we missed, but not really, right?
Well, what about Gloria Vanderbilt? Let's leave on that.
Yeah.
It was
well,
a beautiful,
that is...
beautiful story
yeah.
that Anderson Cooper told about his mom.
Yeah, well,
and what a life! What a life that she lived, right?
We could not fall asleep last night because of jet lag, so we didn't go to sleep till like 5 o'clock in the morning. So I watched Anderson Cooper's tribute to his mom, and they had a very cute relationship, it seems. And, you know, I hope we're all as lucky to live as long as she did, 95. She had a pretty extraordinary life. And I hope that we're all fortunate enough to live that long and see her son become a success and have a great life and live his true life. And, you know, she was an interesting bird.
Well, I think there's a lesson there, though. Just live who you are. Don't try to be anybody else. And, what other people think of you is none of your business. I think that's the big lesson of Gloria Vanderbilt's life. So it's an amazing story, but it's also something you can take with you for your life. You know, relax and enjoy yourself.
Sexual escapades.
Right, so we're signing off from Italy, and we will hopefully be back.
We're going to say ciao.
We'll be back in studio next week, or actually, you'll be back in studio. I'm going to be off in Bahrain. I'm going to the peace conference, the Middle East peace conference in Bahrain. So I'll be calling in. But next week should be pretty exciting from Bahrain.
Yeah. We'll have you on the line. I'll be there. I'll be in the house.
All right. Mooch and the Miss is going back to pasta here in Rome.
And I would say follow me on social media for now, but I'm going to leave that to Anthony. He's still addicted. So.
At Scaramucci.
And Mooch and the Misses. .com or whatever we are. What are we? No, .com.
No, we're at Mooch and the Misses.
Oh, my God. I'm living in the past.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, ciao. Arrivederci. We'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.